Good morning, Kansas City. We're in range, Captain. We're not quite ready yet, Captain. She may not hold, Captain. If you're a fan of sci-fi, you've heard this man address Captain James T. Kirk of the USS Enterprise every week for more than 20 years, and in several feature-length films about Star Trek. But these days, the man who played Mr. Sulu on Star Trek is going warp speed on social media and steering the celestial sounds of the KC Symphony. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. And right now, we'd like to welcome George Takei himself, who played Hiraku Sulu for so many years on Star Trek and has become a cult figure all over the world. Once again, he's coming to Kansas City beginning on January 27th to host a sci-fi spectacular with the KC Symphony. Welcome to Central Standard, Mr. Takei.
Good morning. Good to be talking with you.
Good to be talking with you, too. You're going to be working with Jack Everly of the Indianapolis Symphony on a journey through space and time. How do you infuse your narration over music to create this space travel experience that your fans have grown to know and love?
Well, as you know, my career is indelibly associated with science fiction, and specifically Star Trek. And so we talk about that. We have a gloriously gifted singer, Kristen Plumley, who makes an appearance in Starfleet Yeoman's outfit. And then we do the whole gamut, the whole galaxy of science fiction movies and television film music. And one of them is The Day the Earth Stood Still. And I do that speech from that film by Klaatu. So it is an evening of musical science fiction.
Why do you think musical science fiction is so appealing in coming to symphonies across the nation like this, at a time like this?
Well, the music has a certain kinds of music associated with science fiction films and television have become iconic. For example, all of the music that John Williams wrote.
Right, Star Wars.
E.T., all those iconic, anthemic kind of music. And it's also pop symphonic. And so it's lent itself to symphony concerts. And I've been working with Jack Everly all over the country, from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the Canadian border, well, across the Canadian border, all the way down to the southern border. So I've trekked through the galaxies, and with Jack Everly and sci-fi music, I'm trekking through the United States and Canada.
And you're basically going to the land frontiers of North America, as well as being in the final frontiers of space, as you have been for so many years. Let's get into this real quick. Were you actually into science fiction a long time ago as George Takei, the actor, before you landed the role of Hiraku Sulu?
It's Hikaru Sulu.
Hikaru Sulu.
Hikaru Sulu. I had read science fiction, but I wouldn't characterize it as being into science fiction.
You weren't into science fiction before Sulu.
I read, you know, I've reached that point in life where when I have a lot of these blank spots when it comes to names.
A lot of warp speed trips.
I think it's a space lag.
Right, space lag.
It's going to bother me for the rest of the morning.
You were into a science fiction story that you do now not remember.
Well, it's the author's name that, because I know him, he lives in Los Angeles. He's really a legendary science fiction writer. If you start naming them, I can say him.
Not going to do that. So tell us what the story is about.
Well, I read his books, Fahrenheit. I'm blanking out again.
Fahrenheit. Something about Fahrenheit temperature, something about that.
Exactly. And through Star Trek. Then once I got into Star Trek, I met some extraordinarily gifted science fiction writers like Harlan Ellison, who's still a very dear friend. He's been rather ill lately, but you know, the imagination of these people and their ability to get that imagination and put it down on paper, it's an extraordinary gift that they have. I really envy them. And so via Gene Roddenberry's casting me in Star Trek, a whole new world as or universe has opened up to me through these very talented science fiction writers.
Indeed. And to that end, do you ever get tired of being tied to Star Trek for decades, or do you consider it a privilege or a mixed blessing as an actor to be literally seen in public? That's Mr. Sulu.
You know, if I got tired of it, I wouldn't be talking to you about it.
Right.
I feel very blessed by my association with Star Trek. Yes, I do know that there are many actors who complain that a character that they played or a genre that they played in has stultified their careers.
Stultified, wow.
Certainly there's a price to be paid for being strongly identified with a certain genre.
And what is that price? What is that price?
Well, you know, some producers are not very imaginative, and they won't cast you in certain kinds of films because I bring a baggage with me, an association with the sci-fi. But I rather focus on the positive side. As I said, I've met these extraordinarily gifted people, which have enriched my life. But at the same time, the visibility, the celebrity, if you will, that my association with Star Trek has given me has opened doors that might never have opened before. For example, I have access to people like you, the media. I'm involved in the political arena. I'm an activist. I'm engaged in the political and social and community arenas, and if I have a project or an issue that I'm actively involved in, I have access to the media, which some of my other colleagues may not be able to get to, non-actor colleagues.
Let it be said here that George Takei said he was blessed to play Mr. Sulu and be in the public eye so that he could address folks such as me. Thank you very much for that.
Do
you find it surreal, though, that many acting gigs, Mr. Takei, that you end up playing, yourself as a celebrity?
Well, lately, that's been a more recent sort of thing.
Right.
But yes, I have played characters named George Takei. However, the characters that I'm playing may not necessarily be me.
Right.
For example, on one show, I played a character named George Takei, who did a Star Trek or a sci-fi convention. He was very egocentric, self-centered, very demanding, a full-blown prima donna. And I was using one of my colleagues.
Right. So nothing like the real George Takei.
Model. But the character may have been named George Takei, but I was using another fellow actor as my model.
What are the fundamental differences between you, George Takei, and Captain Sulu? What are the fundamental differences? Who is Captain Sulu and who is George Takei?
Well, Captain Sulu is completely and totally dedicated to his job as a member of Starfleet, whether it was as helmsman or as lieutenant commander or as captain of the Starship Excelsior.
Right.
George Takei has a much more 20th and 21st century commitment to making this, our present time, a better world. You know, I grew up in two U.S. internment camps behind barbed wire fences, guarded over by sentries and tall guard towers during the Second World War, simply
the
because...
The Japanese internment camps.
No. Japanese-Americans.
The Japanese-American. Right,
we
right.
were Americans.
Right.
We were Americans who happened to look like the people that bombed Pearl Harbor.
Right.
My mother was born in Sacramento. My father was a San Franciscan. I was born here in Los Angeles. We're American citizens. And on suspicion of being disloyal, being possibly a spy or a traitor, you know, and there was no charges, there were no trials, no due process, which is a pillar of the American justice system. We were summarily rounded up and put in these prison camps. We were sent to after we were ordered out of our homes, and that day is a day I will never forget. I was 5 years old at the time, And my parents had hurriedly dressed me in the morning. And I was looking out the living room window when I saw two soldiers come marching up our driveway with bayonets flashing on their rifles. They stomped up to our front door on the porch, and they banged on the door. And my father answered it, and they ordered us out of our home. And from there, we were taken to, would you believe, a horse stall at a nearby racetrack. I mean, we were in a two-bedroom home here in Los Angeles. From that to a narrow horse stall, still with the stench of horses there. And, you know, we were a family of five, three children and my parents. My parents felt so degraded and so humiliated. For what? What had we done, you know? And so having that, well, you know, I was a child, too young to understand that. But when I became a teenager and I started reading our civics book and our history books, and I didn't think that was right according to what our Constitution was and our Bill of Rights was. And so I engaged my father in a lot of conversation as a teenager. And, you know, a teenager can be very arrogant. I was very arrogant with my father. And I regret some of the things I accused him of, you know, leading us like sheep to slaughter. But he summed it up all, and this is something that I use as my life guide. He said both the strength and the weakness of American democracy is in the fact that it's a true people's democracy, and it can be as great as the people can be, but it's as fallible as people are. And because this is a participatory democracy, we have to be actively engaged in that process. Good people have to be in there holding democracy's feet to the fire. And so I wasn't aware of it then, but my father, in a subtle way, guided us into being activists. He encouraged us to run for student council offices. And I was health commissioner, and later I became student body president. And before I could even vote, my father, who was a great admirer of Adlai Stevenson, who ran for U.S. president back then, took me to the Stevenson headquarters, and he volunteered me to the campaign. And so ever since then, I've been actively engaged in the civic arena.
And we'll talk a little bit more about your activism as we go along here. You are listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall. We're hearing a side of actor George Takei, who played Mr. Sulu on Star Trek, that you don't normally hear. The experiences of being in a Japanese-American internment camp.
Japanese-American.
Yeah, Japanese-American internment camp during the World War II years. The experience of being an Asian American, and also the experience of being a gay rights activist, which you are heavily involved in now.
That's correct.
And how did that come about?
Well, it's all a part of the whole thing. Because of that background, I've been engaged in the political arena, and I was active in Mayor Tom Bradley, the first African American who ran for city council in our city of Los Angeles.
And later ended up becoming mayor.
Became mayor, mm-hmm. And when he became mayor, and I led his Asian American committee, he appointed me to the board of, excuse me, he appointed me to the board of directors of the Southern California Rapid Transit District. And here again, I'd been in Star Trek already by this time. In advocating for the building of our subway system here in Los Angeles, and you must ride our subway system when you come to L.A. It's the most modern subway system in the U.S.
I'm the only Angeleno I know that rides those green lines, red lines, blue lines, and orange
the
lines.
Red line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The heavier. Oh, you're an Angeleno, are you?
I am.
What are you doing in Kansas City?
Long, long, long story, Mr. Takei. I think I got here by warp speed, so you can thank Mr. Sulu for that.
I think it was probably impulse power.
Oh, that
you
know
don't go that fast.
You know what? You know what? You're right. You announced that Brad Altman would be getting married, and Mr. Altman was part of the first same-sex couple to apply for a marriage license out there in
That
became legal in California.
Yes.
How do you feel about the same-sex marriage debate, which is hotly debated here in middle America, where you're coming for your space spectacular. Why do you think it's such a big deal, Mr.
Well, it's an American issue. In the same way that justice for Japanese Americans who were unjustly, unconstitutionally incarcerated, it's the same thing. I see today an invisible barbed wire fence. You know, the barbed wire fence that confined me as a child is gone now. But there is an invisible barbed wire fence. I call it a legalistic barbed wire fence with sharp, hard barbs in them. It's a matter of equality. We're all Americans. Beyond that, gays and lesbians are members of our own families. We're sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, sometimes fathers and mothers. And so literally we're members of the family. And why do we have these barbed wire fences separating members of our family, other Americans, from equal rights? It's a matter of equality.
And Mr. Takei, you've been very vocal about equality and equal rights, and also very visible with your Star Trek fame. And among Trekkies, you've gone warp speed to social media now, so to speak, with more than 300,000 followers on Twitter and more than 600,000 Facebook friends.
Oh, it's over 600,000.
Yeah, 600 Facebook followers. How did that happen?
Well, it's, I said a little bit earlier, having access to microphones like yours or cameras like the TV cameras, you know. But now we live in the high-tech world of social media. And so I utilize all of the media that I have available to us. I'm into communicating with people. If you're an activist, you've got to connect. And social media is an opportunity to reach a whole vast range of diverse people, and particularly with issues like equality for gays and lesbians and bisexuals and transgender people.
Well, Mr. Takei, I just became your Facebook friend, and I have two questions.
Yes.
You're currently posing on your profile pic with a samurai sword. Do you own samurai swords and threaten to use them on people? That's my first question. And my second question is, what do you set out to convey every day with your hilarious posts that you have on Facebook? So, number one, samurai swords. Do you have them? Do you use them?
I do, as a matter of fact. My uncle, my father's older brother, was into collecting. And he gave my father one piece from his collection. And my father gave it to me, not to my brother, so I have that. I am not really into, as you would say, collecting samurai swords, but this is an heirloom, and it's very dear to me.
Do you ever threaten to use them on people?
Well, no. No. I'm a very nonviolent person.
Right.
But it is a piece that was... I wish I'd talked to my uncle, who was the real serious collector, something that was very important in terms of enforcement of order in ancient Japan.
Certainly, certainly.
And as well as it was a tool, it was a weapon for the lawless. So, you know, having some kind of mastery of that was very important. And my last name, Takei, means warrior's well. So, and I'm told by my relatives, I went to visit my father's relatives in Japan, our relatives, and they told me that the Takei clan is descended from one of the legendary samurais of 18th century Japan. So, you know, there might be a little bit of that DNA in me, but I don't use a sword now.
Well,
when I look at the
picture, Mr. Takei, I certainly believe you. What do you use social media for, other than your hilarious posts that you have every day, very tongue in cheek, very cheeky, if you will, very quite funny?
Well, humor is one powerful weapon. It's a sword, humor,
like a samurai
sword.
Yeah.
For example, there are. You know, I mean, we're in the political silly season now, and politicians come up with the most stupid kinds of issues. And believe it or not, Tennessee, a legislator in Tennessee came up with with a bill which was passed by the Tennessee State Senate, banning teachers, school teachers, from using the word gay. Now, you know, the school teachers are particularly important people in adolescents who are starting to come of age and have some questions about, you know, what their orientation is. And to gag a teacher is not only unjust, and it's, you know, it's unconstitutional, the gagging of the censorship of use of a word, but it's also ridiculous. And so, the bill says that they can jail a teacher who uses the word gay for a month. I mean, to criminalize the use of the word gay. And it's so silly and it's so stupid that I said, well, since my surname Takei rhymes with gay, then they can use Takei in its stead.
Well, speaking,
and you can march in a Takei Pride Parade.
And speaking of Takei, and Takei Pride Parades, as it were, tell us about the origins of the phrase, that's so Takei.
Well, that's it. You know, they teenagers would ridicule other gay teenagers by saying, "Oh, that's so gay." Well, all right, they can't use that word in Tennessee, so say that's so Takei. And at Christmas time, they're free to sing, "Down we now are Takei apparel, fra la 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 la."
Wow!
And that's how silly that that bill is.
Another career highlight. Did you ever get the urge when you played Mr. Sulu to ask one of the producers to put in a line for you warning the bit player guy in the red uniform on Star Trek that gets killed every single episode? You know, the different guy, of course, but Sulu being a compassionate man that he is, did you ever just want to say, hey, not a good idea, man. Not a good idea to beam down there. You're going to die.
Well, you know, take that thought and apply it to our society today. Policemen mm-hmm. are in a very dangerous position. They're on the front lines. And so do we tell them not to become policemen? No, they're necessary in our society.
So that dude had to give his life for Starfleet.
That's
essentially,
right.
Essentially.
In the same way that old ancient samurais had to have swords and be good at it. You know, we need our policemen, and in Starfleet, you need people to be the enforcer. Wear the red shirt.
Right, the red shirt. Who wins in a fight to the death? Sulu, Chekhov, Scotty, or Dr. McCoy?
Oh, of course, Sulu. No question about it. Why did you leave out Captain Kirk?
Oh, yeah. You want to? I'm sure there are many times that you wanted to kill Captain Kirk on and off screen.
Well, today now especially, he has...
He's Denny Crane now. He's not even Captain Kirk anymore.
Speaking
of William Shatner.
Body of work.
Body of work, indeed. Do you still keep in touch with him? Do you still talk? Do you guys still talk at all?
We talk because we do Star Trek conventions together.
Right.
So we say, hi, Bill, and he says, hi, George.
And boom. And do you go into your Kirk and Sulu routines after that, or...
Oh, no, no, we go into our George and Bill routine.
And just say hello. And just say hello. What are your thoughts on 2012 and the Mayan calendar? Is it sci-fi legend, or is there something to that? Let's get George Takei's take on it.
Well, Mayan calendar is not a sci-fi.
Right.
It's Mayan astrology.
Right. But a lot of people have used it for sci-fi means to create this sort of mysterious aura around the prophecy, around the calendar ending, around what it means for our celestial body. What do you feel about
it? Many civilizations and many, in our time, many groups have predicted or prophesied the end of the world, in quotes, you know, in great big bold luminescent letters. But they come and they go, don't they? We had one last year, I think. Wasn't there that group that said this was the end of the world and the day... Or this man, the leader of that group, said, this is the end of the world, and that day came, and that day went, and it just went.
There were a lot of people who supported him that probably could have wanted to put him in warp speed as well.
So, you know, yes, there are all these prophecies, and we take it for what it's worth, but that day will come, and that day will go.
We've been talking to the incomparable George Takei of Star Trek fame, who played Mr. Sulu, about samurai swords, gay activism, civil rights and the like. He's coming to Kansas City on January 27th and 28th to host a sci-fi spectacular with the KC Symphony, and the conductor Jack Everly of the Indianapolis Symphony on a journey through space and time. This will be happening at the brand new Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts, Helzberg Hall. And bad news this morning, there were no tickets available. Mr. Takei, thank you so much for appearing on Central Standard.
I'm really looking forward to your brand new concert hall, the Kauffman Hall. I've read so much about it.
All right.
I'm very eager. I can't wait to be there.
All right, and I bid you a live long and prosper.
Oh, my.